Deuteronomy chapter 18. We begin reading at verse 1. Hear God's word. The Levitical priests, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's food offerings as their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. And this shall be the priests' due from the people, from those offering a sacrifice, whether an ox or a sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder and two cheeks and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain or the vine and of your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep. You shall give them. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons for all time. And if a Levite comes from any of your towns out of all Israel where he lives, and he may come when he desires to the place that the Lord will choose, and ministers in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand to minister there before the Lord, then he may have equal portions to eat, besides what he receives from the sale of his patrimony. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination, or tells fortunes, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see his great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know that the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, when we come to this 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, we come to a chapter that's focused on the word of the Lord. And it falls into two sections. The first half is the half that speaks of the word of the Lord that comes through true priests, and true priests who serve the Lord, and how they are to be served as well. And then it speaks of the prophets of the Lord, that the Lord would raise up a prophet who would speak his word. But the focus is central upon the word of the Lord. And it's that word of the Lord that's important, because the word of the Lord came to God's people to direct them, to govern them, to guide them, and to bring them into that relationship where they knew they were a covenanted people with the Lord, the creator of all, and that they might know him as their Lord and Savior. He is the one who delivered them from Egypt. He is the one who delivered them from the power of Pharaoh. He is the one who demonstrated his might and power as they passed through the Red Sea on dry land and as they entered Canaan. And now as they enter Canaan, he tells them how they are to live in the midst of this new land, which he says over and over, he is simply going to give it to them. Remember, they were a nation that had come out of Egypt. They didn't come out as a mighty army. They had no army. They had very little for defense or for offensive power. They were not an army equipped to go and overpower this great land of Canaan, and it was filled with a great number of people, but the Lord God said, I will give it to you. And through his word, he promised them this blessing. Through his word, he promised them salvation. And through his word, he promised them that he would continue to speak to them through prophets and priests. Let's look at what he says concerning the priests as he begins in chapter 18 and speaks to them of the priest. And first of all, what the priests must live on, how they must be supported. They are to be supported by the people with God's provision. They were given to the people because they were the ones who spoke God's covenant life to the people. They were to speak the word of God to the people. They were taking God's word and they were to apply God's word to the people. They were the life support system for the covenant people of God. And the people were to support them with provision so that they could eat, so that they could live. They did not have a place of their own. They were to depend upon the people, and the Lord was their inheritance. All of the other sons of Israel had places. There was a place for each and every other tribe, but for the tribe of the Levites, they were to depend upon the Lord and his provision for them, completely depending upon the Lord, because they were meeting Israel's needs. And when they met Israel's needs with the word of God, God would meet their needs. And what is given to the Lord for them, as the Lord is their inheritance, is given so that they might serve the Lord and continue to care for God's people, taking God's word, applying it to God's people, teaching them the will of the Lord. So they are to be dependent upon the gifts of God's people. And the people of God were to support them with offerings. Verses 3 and 4 speaks of the great offerings that they were to receive. Not the leftovers, not oh now and then, but they were to be supported. They were not to be forgotten. They were to be regularly supported by the people of God. And then as he moves into verse 5, he speaks of the responsibility of the priest and the work of God, what he is to do and how he is to speak to God's people. For the Lord has chosen him to stand and to minister, verse 5 says, out of all of the tribes in the name of the Lord, him and his sons for all time. This was the given work of the priest, chosen by God to stand. That word stand is a word that is a graphic term. It's a term that's used about loyal and devoted servants who would stand in the presence of their king or their master. And when they heard his orders, they would go out and do it. They would run immediately to do the will of the king and to obey the king, whatever he commanded. And the Bible uses that word when it speaks of the Lord's prophets and priests and angels as well, who stand and obey God's word. They minister and they stand before him because they are representing God to the people. And they in turn are representing the people before God as they minister before the Lord, leading the people of God in worship, leading the people of God with their thanksgiving and praise and with the offerings of sacrifice that they give to the Lord, leading the people in that place of worship where God is glorified. And so these servants were to be protected, they were to be provided for, they were to be given gifts, they were to be listened to, and they are to be protected as God's priests. The law provided for the care and the maintenance wherever they happen to be. And that's what it says here in verse 6. If a Levite goes from place to place, he goes from where he is living and he goes to another place, and he does the work of the Lord, he is to be supported. He is to be taken care of by the people of God. You see, the people of God needed to hear God's word. Now, it was common in that day, as it's common in our day, for the people of the world to want to hear what someone else has said. In the day of Israelites, they would consult witches and wizards, and these are listed in this passage, and we'll look at that in a moment. Today, we live in a world in which we have a world that has a bunch of different paths, which they subsume under the word spiritual discovery. And that spiritual discovery is often something that is related to things like the things that we see here. Practices that are offensive to God. Things that God has condemned. Things that God has listed here in this passage, which he says should not even happen among the people of God. And all of these things are offensive to God. And he lists them here beginning in verse 9. When you come into the land that the Lord is giving you, don't follow the abominable practices of those nations. What are those abominable practices? Verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or dreams, omens, a sorcerer or a charmer, a medium, necromancer, or one who inquires from the dead. All of these are listed as those things that are radically wrong. They are offensive to God. God says they are abominable practices, and yet these are things that we even see today. All of these are forbidden practices, and they all stress in one form or another the desire that people have that they want to know something, and they want to either know something or have power over others. These are aspects of the will of man in which he desires to be his own God, to determine his own life, his own destiny, by following what he wants to hear. And all of these forbidden practices are practices which God says are abominable, and they are under God's condemnation. We are made to live to depend on God's word. All of these things are in contradiction to God's word. All of these things and all of these practices that are listed here are things that are contradictory to what God has said. All of these occult practices are forbidden by Scripture. You cannot hope to benefit from anything if the Lord has prohibited its use. You know, if the Lord says don't do it and you do it, what's the obvious situation here? You're going to come under God's judgment. That always has happened. When you do something that God says you may not do, his judgment will come. You don't benefit when you do something that God has prohibited. Canaan, the land of Canaan that the Israelites were entering, was littered with these evil practitioners. But the warning about their destructive abilities and activities is unmistakably clear. Do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations. Let no one be found who practices sorcery or divination. The Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. You know, it's almost as clear as that sign that you see next to a golf course or on some person who's got a really nice lawn. And what does it say on that sign? Do not walk on the lawn. What's the first thing you think of doing? I know you want to walk on the lawn because the sign says not to. But that's the problem. We do what God has commanded us not to do. Now, if the people wanted to know what God had said or what God had thought about some particular issue, what were they to do? They were to listen to the priest. Because the priest was the one who bore the word of God. And the priest was the one who could take the word of God and apply the word of God to the people. Not the damaging and inane ramblings of the degraded wizards and all of these other occultish practices. But the priest was the one to whom you would go, as well as the prophet, because they were the ones who had the word of God. Now he finishes in verse 14. With the speaking about the priests. And in verse 15, he brings in the new subject of a prophet. And he says this, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. Notice this is Moses speaking, and he is speaking as a prophet. And he says, a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, it is to him you shall listen. And then he goes on and he talks about false prophets that existed in Israel. There were false prophets, there were false priests. False prophets existed in Israel. Why? Well, they wanted to give the people the words that the people wanted to hear. Not the truth that they needed, but what people want to hear. There are churches today that do the very same thing. They give people what people want rather than focusing on what does the Lord say in his word and what does God say that we should have and that we should want. And Moses shares with the people here three characteristics of an authentic, genuine prophet. He is one who, he says, will obey God's call. The priest and the prophet didn't decide upon themselves one day, you know, when they were sleeping in bed and they woke up in the morning and they thought, you know, I think I'm going to be a prophet. There's a little profit in that. There's a little work. You do a little of this and you do a little of that, but it sure is a lot better than working in the slime of going down in the mines and, you know, all of that other kind of thing. No, we don't make ourselves to be prophets or priests or ministers. The decision is a decision that comes from God. He is the one who calls. And he says, I will raise up for you a prophet like Moses. I will give you one who will obey God's call. And when you hear that prophet, that authentic prophet, you are to welcome his word and the word that he speaks from Scripture. We could apply that even today to the contemporary day in which we live. For the contemporary preacher, nothing is of greater importance than the study of that word of the Old Testament and the New Testament Scripture, so that when we preach God's word, we're not just preaching whatever the minister wants to say about what his family has done or what's in the news, going on in the news, or situations, but what God has said in his word and taking that word and applying that word to the hearts and the lives of God's people. And when God's people hear God's word proclaimed from the pulpits of the churches in which we live in this hour, then they will welcome that word from God as its authoritative truth, a truth to live by. And an authoritative prophet imparts God's message. It's a message that he gives to everyone. He is to teach God's word, apply God's heart, and to take that word of God and apply it to God's people. It's to apply it to those that are needing comfort, uplifting them with the strength of God's word. Those that are going through circumstances that are trying, reminding them of the grace of God that will sustain them. Bringing that word of God and imparting that message is the message that the ministry of the word, prophet and minister today, is to bring to the people of God. And that prophecy of a prophet's role in the Israelite community closes with a warning about two different kinds of people who will do things that are not in accordance with God's word. And that's in verse 19 and verses 20 and 22 as well. Two things there. There's a disobedient listener and there's a presumptuous speaker. What the people did was their responsibility. They were to hear the good news, but they were to obey that good news. There were those who would hear it but would not obey. But obedience guarantees life. Disobedience invites death. That's the continuous refrain of all of Scripture. Obedience guarantees life or blessing. Disobedience invites God's judgment and death. The presumptuous speaker, the one in verse 20, who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, there would be that false prophet. There would be that false prophet who would be raised up by his own strength, and he would claim to have a word from God. But God has not given him that word. God says he will be guilty of divine condemnation. The disobedient listener rejected what God had said. The presumptuous speaker trades in things that God has not said. Far more seriously, we live in a world that has a great number of those false prophets. We have tremendous numbers of religious groups today that presume to speak religious words, words from God. We have the New Age movement. We have transcendental meditation. We have the Church of Scientology, Ekankar, the Divine Light Mission, Hare Krishna, and we could take this list and we could add 100 more names to it. All are false prophets, and they continue to emerge. And they continue to mislead innocent people who don't hear God's word coming from them. Christians need to realize that there are false as well as true prophets. Christians need to listen for that message from God and from his word so that they know its truth in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. They need to listen to that word that comes from Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh by God, who came into this world by the power of the Holy Spirit in order that he might speak God's word, the one of whom God said, "Listen to him, he is my son." The Christian needs to listen to God's word, not to false prophets, not to false priests, but to listen to the word of the living God and apply it to their hearts and to their lives. We need to remember that this passage came to be treasured by both Jewish and Christian people as the one of many predictions concerning an inimitable leader, the promised Messiah, the one who would come. In other words, a prophet like you was not simply a reference to some prophet or a prophet, but to the particular prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one, as I said a moment ago, that the Father spoke from heaven and said, "You must listen to him." If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I will call him to account, he says here in Deuteronomy. The Lord God repeated that appeal during Christ's ministry on earth when he said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Those who listen to him receive new life. Those who hear his word and trust that gospel are saved for eternity and will live forever. So we have a word that comes both from the Old Testament, continues through the New Testament to us to listen to Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves, have we heard him? Have we listened to him? Have we trusted in him and in his word? Because God says, "He is the one I want you to listen to. He is my son." And if we have heard and believed, we're saved and are saved for all eternity. That message comes all the way back from Deuteronomy 18 to today in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, for which we give thanks. Amen.